There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Live local talk over the next hour. And remember, you didn't catch like last hour or something I did earlier in the week or last week, always go to the podcast page at fmtalk1065.com. They're all listed for you there. In addition, you can, better yet, subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher, or if you get your music on Spotify, our podcasts are there as well. TuneIn Radio, lots of places to get them. Subscribe and give us whatever the emoji is there, thumbs up, stars, you know, whatever rating or ranking, we sure appreciate it. All right, we continue with our Get to Know the Candidate series here as we lead into Thursday night's AL1 Republican Congressional Debate. This is a name that is going to be familiar to many folks, especially folks in 101. Representative Chris Pringle joining us now on the show. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you back in. For those folks that, are new to the name, Chris Pringle, introduce yourself to them.
Well, Chris Pringle, I grew up here in the 1st Congressional District in Mobile, splitting my time between Mobile and my family's farm in Washington County. And that's where my son and I like to go on the weekends.
Right.
I've taught him to drive the same tractor, my grandfather's tractor, I learned to drive as a kid. But, yeah, I served in the Alabama House of Representatives from 94 to 02, and I left in 02, and I spent the next 12 years concentrating on raising my son and growing my business. I'm a licensed home builder, a licensed general contractor, and a realtor at Southern Timberlands. So I probably have the funnest job in the world outside the legislature. I sell and build hunting camps.
I'm jealous. I've told you that before. I've been jealous of that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But in 2014, after 12 years of being out of public life, my old seat came open, and I ran because I wanted to go back to Montgomery now that we're in the supermajority, and go to work with the Republicans in charge. Because when I was there first,
Let's talk about it. Yeah, people forget, if you haven't been watching this long, people think, oh, what's the whole reality is a Republican supermajority. That was not always the story.
No, and when I was first there, they could rewrite the entire Constitution of the state of Alabama and pass it without a single Republican vote. And, of course, I knew that because my very first term, I rose to the level of minority leader of the Alabama House. So I'm baptized. I'm going toe-to-toe with blocking Democrat agendas.
Right.
I know what it takes. I've done it before.
And then you came back, and the supermajority is in place, but it's a whole nother world. Not everybody is in lockstep, even with the Republican supermajority within the Republicans.
Leading the Republicans is like herding cats. You have a lot of very diverse opinions, very well thought out opinions, but they are different opinions, and it's not easy to build a consensus sometimes in the caucus. But we work very hard to work with each other.
Well, okay, so you have some experience doing that. Now you're applying for the job here from We the People of AL1 to go do that in Washington.
Exactly. You know, when Bradley made the decision to give up his seat to run for the Senate, I looked at my life. I'm a single dad. And my son is 17 years old. I love him very much. Plays football at McGill. Go Jackets.
All right, go Jackets, yes.
When I go to Washington and take the oath of office, very soon afterwards, he'll graduate from high school and go to college. And
right.
I'll be an empty nester. I tell everybody I don't have a wife, a dog, or a cat. If I leave at 5 in the morning, I just change the thermostat and go get on the airplane and fly to Washington.
And it's interesting that in Washington, making, at least from my perspective, wanted to get yours, making those relationships, you talk about herding cats within the Republicans at Goat Hill. I mean, if you're coming from AL1, you got to make some deals to benefit AL1.
You know, the legislative process is like a marriage. You know, you don't get 100% of what you want. You have to learn to negotiate and give and take. Or, you know, and I'm a realtor. You know?
Yeah.
In real estate deals, we have to kind of give and take, and that's the process. You don't give up on your core values,
right?
But you have to learn to negotiate around the edges in order to make a, you know, a bill pass or a deal work. And that's, and it's all based on relationships. It's that ability to sit down with other people from different parts of the state or different parts of the country in Congress and work something out where we can move the ball forward and get a nice conservative Republican agenda advanced.
Yeah, I started thinking about AL1 in the House compared to all the other districts, but heck, AL1 in comparison to the other six districts in the state of, and we'll get to that in a little bit, in the state of Alabama. You know, I know I'm the ultimate homer. I love my district. I love my home. AL1 is a very different thing than 3 or 7 or 2. I mean, we're pretty diverse in what it makes us tick here.
Oh, you know, listen, I mean, you know, all the Pawnee Woods, you know, I laughingly tell everybody I'm the only candidate in this race that knows the difference between a longleaf and a loblolly pine tree. But, you know, we have the Pawnee Woods, then we have all the agricultural that goes on around here, then we have, of course, we have Airbus.
You got Airbus, that's
yeah,
what I'm
we
saying.
We got Airbus and Austin,
yeah.
And then we have, you know, our marine fisheries, which is so important to us, and then we have the Gulf Coast. You know, the beaches bring so much revenue to the state of Alabama, and it's such a mecca for tourism. It's an extremely diverse district, and it's a wonderful district to travel. It's a lot of fun.
It's a neat place. It's home for us, and but yeah, I think about that. I mean, I want to compare it against the bigger backdrop of Washington, but also it's a different thing. I think there are other districts of the state have more in common with each other than we do maybe with them. Although AL1 and 5 seem to have some similarities, but you know what I mean?
Well, Alabama's a very diverse state. I mean, go to Huntsville. You know, that district, there are more engineers per capita in Huntsville than in any city in the nation.
Yeah.
And it's a growing, very prospering. It's a very different, but...
That's why I said AL1 and 5 have a lot going on.
But we have Mobile Bay.
That's right. That is true. Tennessee River is pretty as it is. It's not the bay. It's not the Gulf. Let's see for a second, and I want to go back to talking about your campaign and how people can get more information. But let's talk for a second as we discuss the districts in the state of Alabama. This is something, I mean, I've been talking about this, ringing this bell a couple years now, and now here we are looking at this census for 2020. What, in your estimation, you study this stuff, you're in this. How are we going to lose a district?
There's a very high probability. We only had a 72% return on the response rate on the last census. If we can get it to 80%, there's a chance we might be able to retain the 7th congressional district. Other than that, we will be cut to 6.
I mean, and I keep saying this, I feel like just reminding folks, y'all, we could lose a district in the state. Explain to people what that means for us in Washington.
That means one of our good Republican districts is going to become Democratic. That means one of our electoral college votes will probably become Democratic. But it's also hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funding.
For everybody, for all Alabamians.
It goes over, because the federal fund is based on population of the state, and we don't respond and get an accurate count, then they start cutting the amount of money they send us.
So your argument with that 72% response rate is the people are still here, they're just not responding?
Yeah, they won't answer the questions. They won't turn in their census forms.
So it is. See, I never heard it put like that. There's really a clerical issue. It's an issue of people filling out the census form and turning them in versus that we have lost that much population. And I know there's the whole other part with the lawsuit and who they're counting in other states, and they won't ask a citizenship question on the census. But you're saying, I mean, part of it's just on us here in Alabama. We're not 72%.
72% response rate.
I always thought it was the law that you had to turn in your census.
Well, you know, they won't respond, they won't turn them in, so we're undercounted, and it hurts us financially and it hurts us politically in Washington.
All right, so if the process, God forbid, I mean, but you're saying you feel like, barring any unforeseen information, this is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, but let me caution you. The state's doing as much as they can right now to convince people to answer the census, because it's vitally important to local governments and state government, and it's vitally important to our representation in Washington.
Big time. That's what scares me. That's why I've been on this for so long, that this is a big deal. But if it does happen, then we go from 7 to 6, then how do you draw the new districts? I mean, what happens?
It's extremely complicated. Basically, we have about 680,000 people in the 1st Congressional District now. We'll have to gain about 124,000 new people into the 1st Congressional District, which, you know, if you look at the district, you can't go to Pensacola and get them, and you can't go to Mississippi and get them, so you've got to start going north towards Montgomery. Or there have been proposals for years to send us all the way to Dothan. The 1st District will stretch from Mobile, Baldwin, Escambia, Covington, Geneva, all the way over to Houston counties.
Oh, like so
the congressman would spend most of his time driving in Florida.
Kind of describe, but people like us will understand this. You're describing the South Zone for dove hunting. Will be AL1, along with some Washington and Clark and all that, but you also get the South Zone for dove season. Yeah. So that happens, then how do the other, how does two change and three, and does who, does five end up becoming big? How does that work?
It's going to be interesting, and that's the reason why I think I'm so uniquely qualified to be the next congressman from the 1st District, because I am intimately involved in this whole process. I still have an entire year left in the legislature to work on it. But when I go to Washington in 2021, when they start drawing the congressional districts in 2021 for the 2022 election, I will be able to build that bridge between the congressional delegation in Washington and the legislature in Montgomery, because I understand the process by being so involved in it. And I will work tirelessly to ensure that our issues are protected here in Southwest Alabama.
All right, we're coming back more with Chris Pringle. He will be one of the candidates Thursday night debating at the J.C. Davis Auditorium. By the way, debate coverage goes from, we're actually going to start our pregame. Somebody's asking, we've got a pregame, just like football, from 5:30 to 6, debate in earnest from 6 to 7:30, and then we've got a postgame show, too, from 7:30 to 8, and we're going to be covered from 5:30 to 8 o'clock here at FM Talk 106.5. Plus, we'll be on WKRG-TV starting at 6 on Thursday night. More on that when we get back. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, and continue our Get to Know the Candidate segment. Candidate for AL1 and representative for District 101. So he's in 101, but running for AL1, state and federal. You know his name, Chris Pringle, our guest. And really, interesting discussion and scary. First of all, you scared the socks out of me. Now I think I understand more of our issues here on this losing a district. Only 72% of people returning their census.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Y'all get on the phone and call your relatives and let them know to fill out the census. This is something that's important for all of us. And you tied this together during the news break, because I was talking about federal programs and I was talking about the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and others. That, if we're looking for federal money, it's based on
population, based on the census.
When you don't turn in your census card, you're shorting federal money coming back into Alabama.
Exactly. You're reducing the amount of money we're eligible to draw down, not only on every government program, but also on infrastructure dollars, because we don't have the population, because it's undercounted.
And you say, you're in a position here with being looking at this through the state lens for the redistricting. But if you are elected and you're in Washington, you can be a liaison between the two.
Particularly on redistricting, like I said, I've been so intimately involved in it that I'm the person that can build that bridge between the congressional delegation in Washington and the legislature in Montgomery to ensure that we get districts that are drawn that protect Southwest Alabama in particular. But we have zero deviation in congressional districts. Each district has to have the same exact number of people in it as the next one. There's zero deviation in congressional.
Of course, we can't figure that out because we don't have the census data being turned in.
And it's all it's all based on the census data. You know, we have demographers that sit there and draw it all. But
wow. Let's talk about some of the issues for AL1 and in Washington, and some for the entire nation. Because in the job of the House of Representatives, yes, you're there to ensure the health of the nation, but also, I mean, back home, your constituents, that's us. That's what your task number one. I mean, how do you balance that? I mean, there's sometimes we see things where a federal issue, you can see it from a federal angle, but you go, you know, back home, man, that's that may not play.
Well, that's true. But I mean, my top three issues when I go to Washington will be the local economy, infrastructure, and health care.
Okay.
Let me circle back around and I'll tell you what I mean by that. On the local economy, it's vital that Austell USA is protected. Not only does it provide jobs here in Southwest Alabama, but those ships play a vital role in defense of our nation all over the world. Airbus is growing and prospering, and we need the opportunities that await us with the growth of Airbus for our children and our grandchildren for great high-paying jobs are just unbelievable. You know, I serve on the Gulf States Marine Fisheries Commission, mm-hmm. so I understand how important the Gulf of Mexico is and all of our marine fisheries, and I want to see us regulate the marine fisheries here at the local level. I think we can do a much better job here than some bean counter in Washington can. As far as infrastructure, you know, we talked about the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about I will work day and night to get the federal funds to build a bridge across the river. We have done what we needed to do in order to deepen and widen our ship channel.
Mm-hmm.
Those Panex ships are coming to Mobile. When those ships come, our port could very well become the sixth largest port in the nation. But when that Panex ship gets here and they start unloading thousands and thousands of containers, they have to dissipate off into the country, and we need the infrastructure.
Some of them got to go east.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, they've got to move, and right now they tell me that if an 18-wheeler passes through Mobile, they automatically add $150 to the freight cost because of that tunnel. If they're passing east or west, you know, they won't add
the companies do when they're
just
assessing.
Because there's so many backups on the bayway and the tunnel.
Federal money, is it there? Is it there for a project?
The Democrats won't, Nancy Pelosi won't let the president's infrastructure bill up for a vote. I mean, you remember I went to her office and tried to meet with her to ask her why she won't bring up the infrastructure bill. It's important. We have to have that five-year infrastructure bill passed so we can have the money to allocate for these important road projects and infrastructure projects.
You know, that's been a place in the past that Republicans and Democrats have come together sometimes. Infrastructure, that's one of those few areas that...
It should be bipartisan. I mean, it's so important to the economic well-being of this country, but I don't see where the Democrat-led House is interested in doing anything but trying to impeach the president.
Yeah.
You know, they've not passed any of the 13 appropriation bills. They've not passed the infrastructure bill. They've issued more subpoenas than they have introduced bills in the House.
Seems like it's going the wrong way of the people's work.
It doesn't seem to be interested. And that's the reason why I want to go to Washington and fight for Southwest Alabama and stand up and say, no, we need infrastructure. We need a budget. You know, we can get on a balanced budget, but we at least need to pass a budget. The 13 appropriation bills that compromise our budget haven't been passed. They just going for continuing resolution.
Yeah, we're in a new CR right now, yeah. I think.
But I want to see us move our airport downtown. I think with the growth that's occurring in Mobile right now, that to relocate that airport to downtown Mobile and have it access to the interstate system will go a long ways to getting us the quality air service that we so desperately need. And I want to touch on health care.
Yeah, what about health care?
It's probably the biggest issue facing not only families but businesses, and it's the cost of health care. And I watched my mother when my father was diagnosed with dementia and had to be put in a nursing home. And I watched the economic uncertainty she was faced with on how she was going to provide the kind of care she wanted to for her husband. And as you remember, about a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
And, you know, and I was suddenly faced with a major health crisis. Luckily, I'm clean. I had my left kidney removed. I'm like Sonny Callahan. I only have one kidney.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, I was faced with the economic uncertainty of how I was going to deal with a major health issue. And we have got to find a way to address the health care costs in this country. And I believe in a market-based solution. Well, it's far better than this liberal government solution that the Democrats are coming up with. I've never seen the government solve a problem, but I think the market can help solve this problem.
What would you, and we just have a minute here before we wrap, but is that across state lines kind of stuff? Is that opening up?
I think everything needs to be on the table. I really do. It needs to be a market-based solution. The government interfering in it, will make the problem worse.
So you think if we back off where we are now with this, because we're in this nowhere land between what liberals want with a single payer, and the old plan, do you think there's a market-based plan that works better than what we were dealing with before Obamacare?
There's got to be, and I'll get into the veterans. I watch, you know, my grandfather was a vet, my father was a vet, he was at William Green, mm-hmm. he was in a nursing home, my father-in-law was a vet. I mean, I've watched these veterans struggle to get the benefits they deserve and the health care they deserve because they are locked into a government program. And I would like to see us not only, you know, market-based or system of health care, but I'd like to see us take care of these veterans. They stood watch over our freedoms. They were promised these benefits. They deserve those benefits, and I want to see them get the benefits that we promised these men. And, the government program they're under, they have to wait for months just to get in to see a doctor, and it's wrong. That's what I see a single-payer system going to.
All right. More information about Chris Pringle. Where do they go?
PringleForCongress.com. It's very simple.
All right, very good. And we'll see you on Thursday night.
Great. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
As we are as well. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And if you didn't catch it earlier, no annexation for those three communities. We'll get into that.